We're turning in the scriptures to the Revelation and chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. We'll read 15 and 16. Revelation chapters 15 and 16. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame, And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, when we read thy word, our soul is stirred within us. There are times that it causes us that our very hearts burn, and there are other times that our heart is thrilled to read what thou dost say. And then again, we stand in awe because we're standing on holy ground. Oh, our Father in heaven, thy precious word to thy saints. Help us, we pray, and may the Holy Spirit of God illumine the word to feed our souls, to challenge us, to guide us and direct us, to reprove us, to instruct us in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work to do the will of God from the heart. For we pray it earnestly in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As we begin to look at this particular passage, and we read a complete scene, a complete vision from the Lord, reminding you that the book of the Revelation is a picture book, but it is a picture book to the heart. Not a picture book to the natural eye, but a picture book to the spiritual eye. And for that reason, it is spoken of as signs, visions. I saw, and this is seeing with spiritual eyesight. Let us go back to the 14th chapter and look carefully at the preparation for what is being brought to us here. And as you're looking at the 14th chapter and turning to it, you will notice that the use of the word sign begins in 12. And then the 13th chapter shows the enemy at work, Satan unleashing all of his wrath and anger against the people of God. And then the 14th chapter gives us a beautiful spiritual panoramic of the whole course from the ascension of our Lord clear to the time of the harvest. Notice the sevenfold vision in the 14th chapter. In verses 1 through 5, we have the Lamb and the redeemed. And the redeemed are spoken of as the first fruits. And where are they? On Mount Zion. In Hebrews chapter 12, it will tell us that we are coming to Mount Zion. And it talks about the Lord Jesus being there and the church of the firstborn being there. We are coming to Mount Zion. So we have the picture of the Lamb on Mount Zion. The second picture is given to us in 6 and 7. And in verses 6 and 7, the everlasting gospel is proclaimed upon the earth. In the midst of the heaven, the angel declares, he preaches the gospel to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The Lord Jesus in the Olivet prophecy said, this gospel of the kingdom must first be preached unto all men, and then will come the end. Beginning in verse 8, verse 8, there is an announcement. Babylon falls. This is the headquarters. This is the seat of the Antichrist. We are introduced even before we look at Babylon, because we'll have to come to the 17th and 18th chapters to see the whole picture of Babylon. But here, the announcement is made, Babylon is fallen. And the reason is given why Babylon falls. Because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then the fourth instance is given in 9 through 12. And this is a warning of the coming wrath that we just read of in the 15th and 16th chapters. The wrath that will come upon all of those who bow the knee to the beast and who worship his image or receive his mark. There is a warning. God always warns. And this warning is that that will be a fatal, an eternally fatal act on the part of men to participate in the worship of the beast. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. In the fifth instance, there is a special thought that is given to us. Fifth instance, it tells us in verse 13, and this is the one of the great beatitudes of the Bible. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. In the Psalms it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And here there is a special word of encouragement given to the people of God. Men of the world will say death means that a failure has come. But the Lord says that passing from this present physical life to the presence of the Lord is not failure. It is a blessed experience. They die in the Lord. And to die in the Lord is to rest from labor, and the works follow. I would like to call attention just to this one phrase, their works do follow them. Just underline that in your mind for a moment, because when we get to the 16th chapter, this will be important to us. Their works do follow them. Then, in the sixth instance, verses 14 through 16, we have the harvest of the precious fruit of the earth. The grain is harvested. The Son of Man himself harvests his grain. He thrusts in the sickle and reaps, for the time of the harvest of the earth is ripe. The earth is reaped. And this, the Lord Jesus tells us in his own personal teaching in the Gospels, that this will be at the time of his coming. And the seventh in picture in this 14th chapter is the reaping of the vine of the earth, which is a bitter vine. And this is the picture that is enlarged for us in the 16th chapter, the wrath of God. You'll notice that verse 19 of 14th chapter says that it is cast, the vine of the earth is cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Then, as 2 Peter will tell us, and tell us so positively, that the day of the Lord will come. Or the passage of scripture that we read just a few moments ago in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He will come in fiery indignation, bringing vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an awesome picture. Now, chapter 15 is an enlargement of this. At 15 and 16 that we just read a few moments ago. 15 is the preparation for it. I saw another sign in heaven. Verse 2 says that there is a sea of glass. Now, we met that sea of glass in the fourth chapter. The sea of glass. But now there is a further picture. It is mingled with fire. The sea of glass before the throne is mingled with fire. And upon them, having come out of fiery tribulation, all of those who have gotten the victory over the beast and his image and over his mark and the number of his name, and they stand on this sea of glass, having the hearts of God, and sing the song of redemption. This is the great victory song. This vision is introduced by saying that the last plagues are about to be poured out. When the Lord talked to Abraham, he said that when the cup of indignation was full concerning the Amorites, then the children of Israel would go into the land. This passage is saying that the cup of God's indignation is now full and is about to be poured out upon the earth. The third picture that is given in chapter 15 tells us that the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven is open. This is chapter 15 and verse 5. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven is open. The angels that bring the vials of God's judgment come out of the tabernacle of the testimony. Now, that's the same word that is used of the tabernacle in the wilderness. There was a mercy seat. And under the mercy seat, in the Ark of the Covenant, there was the law of God. Over the mercy seat, the cherubim. Between the cherubim who hovered and the mercy seat, the Lord said that he would forgive sin. But all through this present time, all the way, while man lives here upon earth, the temple, that is the Holy of Holies, has been closed. Man has not seen the Holy of Holies. When the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to sprinkle the blood, he went in a thick cloud and backed out again. If he were to see the Ark of the Testimony, he would die. But he had to walk in and then back out under the smoke of the incense. He sprinkled the mercy seat. Hebrews tells us that our Lord entered into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the mercy seat with his own blood. Now, that place is open in order that God may judge righteously. when the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and be with us, the Lord said that he would judge the world and convict the world of the judgment that was coming because the Lord Jesus Christ is the great judge. And so every soul that is convicted of sin is convicted by the Holy Spirit of God because the blood is on the mercy seat and because the one who died for us is also the judge. So the angels come from the mercy seat and they come with the vials of God's wrath. Now the 16th chapter gives us the sevenfold wrath of God. In the 15th chapter in verse 1, it says the wrath of God is filled. In the 16th chapter, it says it is done. Wrath is poured out fully in completion. And where is it poured out? Upon the earth. God's wrath upon the earth. God, in this way, and the word wrath helps us to understand how greatly and penetratingly deep this thought of the wrath of God is, because it has two certain words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that we read just a few moments ago. Both of these words are involved in wrath. Indignation. This goes all the way through the scripture. But if indignation were all by itself, then it would be like the trumpet judgments of God. It would be wrath poured out in a measure, not in fullness. It would be wrath from which a recovery could be made by repentance. But when another word is added to it, and that's the word that is added in this 16th chapter, vengeance. Not only indignation against sin and wickedness, but vengeance. The vengeance of God. And first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that the Lord Jesus will come in fiery flame, in vengeance. Not only is he angry, but he is punishing in the pouring out of his wrath. Psalm 2 is talking about this. Says he is only a little angry now. All the way through the scripture, God says he is angry with the wicked every day. Romans chapter 1 says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the unrighteousness of men. And so there is an indignation of God against sin because men, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they turned away from the living God, even though all of creation calls attention to him, as Psalm 19 will point out. And everything in this whole universe points to God. God, who is creator, who is redeemer, who is sustainer, who is judge, sovereign judge. But then the hour will come. And remember that the gospel talks about judgment. God's gospel talks about judgment. In the second chapter of Romans, it says that God is going to judge the very secrets of men's hearts according to my gospel. It is an amazing thing that always, in any day, the wicked man hides his conscience. In fact, it is seared with a hot iron of his own rebellion against God, and he says, God doesn't see and God doesn't care. But God says that the cup of his indignation is filling up, and the time will come when his vengeance will be poured out. In verse 2, it tells us that grievous sores, this is in chapter 16, grievous sores come upon all of those who have the mark of the beast upon them and worship his image. The picture of God making a difference between his people and those who worship the beast is seen all the way through the Revelation. It's seen all the way in through the scripture. Back in Exodus, when the plagues were being poured out upon Egypt, it says the Lord made a difference between those Israelites in Goshen and the Egyptians. God made a difference between the two. And finally, when the blood was sprinkled on the door, and all of those who stayed within the blood-sprinkled house were spared and saved. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so now, this awesome pouring out of God's wrath. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, God has saved us from the wrath to come. He is the one who pours out wrath upon sinners. Second angel pours his vial upon the sea. The whole of it becomes the blood of a dead man. The third angel pours his vial upon the rivers and the fountains, and they become blood. And then a word of the justice of God is spoken. They have shed the blood of prophets and saints, and now they are being treated in like form. Sin is a dreadful, dreadful accumulation. Once sin begins and continues on, when one follows the path of sin, it becomes more and more certain that the sin itself will destroy. The wages of sin is death. Then, the fourth angel in verse 8 pours his vial upon the sun. And this angel, the angel of the sun, has power to scorch men. And for this length of time that this is in effect, men are scorched with a great heat, and they blaspheme God. In the last, today, in this hour, there are men who deny God, and they say there is no God. They are corrupt. They say no God. But when the judgments of God fall, men will know that it is God who is doing this. And they do not repent to give him glory. They blaspheme him. In verse 10, the fifth angel pours his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom is full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us that God sends a spirit of delusion upon the minds of those who are committed to rebellion against him. And because they did not love the truth, they fall into a lie and cannot see. Darkness is always, in this respect, God's judgment against those who refuse to see. But this darkness has about it a piercing agony, so that they gnaw their tongues for pain and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains, but repent not of their deeds. The sixth angel pours his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the kings of the east the way is prepared. And then verse 13 tells us what is taking place. Unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. A frog is spoken of as a plague in the plagues of Egypt. Frogs were everywhere in that plague until the whole land was filled with them. The very ovens, the beds, the whole was filled. Now, these frogs are spoken of as spirits of devils. And where do they come from? The mouth. So then, these are the evil influences. Satan has now reached the place where he feels that he can control man. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that God is going to reveal the Antichrist, the man of sin. He's going to uncover him, take the cover, the mask off him. And he will then appear to be what he is. And all of this ugliness is to influence the kings and the rulers of men to come and gather together for what? To battle against God. To take up arms against God. And so a word is used, Armageddon. Now, men today use the word Armageddon to talk about the interaction between men. But God uses it as the gathering together of the enemies of God for an assault upon God himself. They want to attack God himself, not each other. They're united. The frog spirits have united them in a common spirit against God. It's very significant that verse 16 uses the word he. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah, and all of the New Testament combine to tell us that even evil, yes, even evil is controlled and directed by God. There's one significant verse that says that the wrath of men is made to please God. He gathered them together. The influence is satanic, but it brings together those who are committed to Satan. They are brought together. Then the seventh angel pours out his vial. And where? In the air. Three things are said about the air. One, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Two, Thessalonians says we are going to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will meet the Lord in the air. And the third thing is this: God pours out his wrath into the air. And the voice from the temple says, it's done. The verses that follow, 18, 19, 20, and 21, these verses that follow show the awesome effect of this final pouring out the vial into the air. All of the physical earth, all of this earth and its powers that God has given this earth are all combined together to war against the beast, the false prophet, and all of his army. God's whole earth nature turns against the wicked one. Look at some of the things. The islands flee away. The city is broken. Thunders and lightnings, an earthquake. And when it's talking about an earthquake, it says it's more of an earthquake than that men have ever known. Never has there been a time since man has been on this planet that there was such an earthquake as this one. And finally, there is hail that falls. Now, it's not the size of golf balls, because it weighs a talent. And if we were to transfer that to pounds, it would be more than 100 pounds for a single hail. We know what large hail will do to crops. It destroys them. But look what else will be destroyed. 100-pound hail would go through almost everything. It would be like missiles. Often God has used hail, but this time, remember that the enemy has gathered together to fight against God, and he unleashes his own artillery. In the book of Job, there is a word about this, and the Lord's talking to Job. He uses this word. He says that he reserves the hail against the day of battle. So now he unleashes his armament of hail. It is not that resistance is broken and a rout comes. It is that there is a total wipeout of any power. Nothing could move against the armament of God. Now, this final seventh angel is reserved. There's more about it, and that'll come in the 19th chapter, so we can leave it right here. But go with me now. I called your attention to a statement that was made over here in 14 and 13. They rest from their labors, speaking about the dead who die in the Lord. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Then in 16 and 15, there is a further word on this, having to do with the saints of God while we're still here. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The last thought, they see his shame, is talking about the present day, and the worldly, the sinners, seeing the shame of the Christians. Look at this thought just above this. Walking naked. The Lord spoke to the church of the Laodiceans, and he said, you need to buy of me raiment, white raiment, that it may cover you. Always it is the righteousness of Christ that covers. Apart from the righteousness of Christ, I'm no more than an earth man. I have nothing. I have no power. I have no assurance. I have nothing. I am just open and defenseless, but covered with the righteousness of Christ. I am before my enemies brave and strong. And then In 1 John, it uses this word. It says, that we may not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We have not lived as we ought to and be ashamed before Him at His coming. Brothers and sisters, this is talking about the life, the daily life of a Christian. How I live day by day. That brings me to the next thought. Stepping up. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Now the word watch means I stay alert. I do not allow. The Philadelphian church, he says, keep and watch so that you will not lose what you have, that it will not be taken from you. Keeping the garments means that I cherish the righteousness of Christ that wraps me up. I cherish this. I feel that this is important to me. Several times the scripture will talk along to this line, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That brings us then to the first thought. Behold, I come as a thief. Not one of us, no one, can look at a sign and say, I know where we are. Nobody can say anything about where we are in God's great calendar. The only thing we know is this, that He is most certainly coming. Absolutely and certainly He is coming. I may have to go. I may not be here when He comes. I may have to leave. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Ah, what about my works? Are my works the Christian's works? Am I walking circumspectly toward those who are without? Am I laying up my treasures in heaven? Do I recognize that the coming of the Lord will be unexpected, and so therefore I must be continually like one who looks for the Lord, loins girt, lamp in hand, watching for the coming of the Lord? And the Lord said to his servants, blessed is that servant who will be found watching when he comes. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Saint of God, you must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is the great, not only the great protection of the saint, but this is the great assurance of the saint of God. Wrapped in the righteousness of Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? In Christ Jesus and Christ in you, the hope of glory.